On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we have this gospel that's the scene of the visitation. That's what we commonly refer to this scene as, the visitation of when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She makes a very long journey in order to do this. It's 80 miles as the crow flies between Nazareth and Ein Karen, which is 5 miles out of Jerusalem, going from north to south. But the way that she would have taken to get there would have been at least 100 miles, if not closer to 120 miles. It's a long way to travel. It's helpful for us to remember what happens immediately before this scene in Luke's gospel, and that's the Annunciation. The Archangel Gabriel coming to Mary, and he gives her an extraordinary message. He tells her that God is asking her to consent to be the mother of the Son of God, and that she would become a mother not through the natural, normal means, but rather by the Holy Spirit. She would remain a virgin, but would conceive and bear a son. And as evidence of this miracle that God wanted to work in Mary, the angel tells her of another miracle that God has worked. And this miracle is that her elderly cousin Elizabeth, who was never able to have children, is now 6 months pregnant. So to this extraordinary invitation, Mary says yes. She'll do whatever God wants her to do. And then the angel leaves her. And what happens next in Luke's gospel? Well, she goes immediately to her cousin Elizabeth. And the gospel writer tells us that she goes in haste. A couple things I think are worth our reflection from this gospel today. The first is reflecting on Mary's response to this extraordinary encounter with God that she has had. I imagine it for anybody, any one of us, we would have needed time to process. We would have needed time to think about what had happened. We would have probably gone through a time where we were self-focused. But we don't see that in Mary. What do we see her at, but except being other-focused? So the most extraordinary thing happens to her, but yet she's not thinking of herself. She's thinking of her elderly cousin who probably needs help in the last months of her pregnancy. And she's so unself-focused that she's willing to make a very arduous journey uphill through dangerous territory, that the road that goes between Galilee and Judah was known for bandits hiding along the way. It was very dangerous. Very likely she didn't make it alone. Probably either Joseph accompanied her, or maybe they arranged for her to go with others who are already traveling down there. But an arduous journey for a young, pregnant woman to make, yet she goes. And the gospel writer tells us that she goes in haste. One of the things that my theological hero, Bishop Robert Barron, often says is that your life is not about you. And Mary's a really good example of this principle, that our life is not about us. Jesus says a number of times in the Gospels, he who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake finds it. So here's a great example of Mary not trying to save her own life, but really making a gift of her life, even at a moment of great need for her. When she probably needs someone to serve her, her heart is so focused on being of service for others. This is one of Mother Teresa's favorite gospel passages. And Mother Teresa would often remark about how Mary went in haste. And if you ever have encountered the missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa's sisters, if you ever find them on mission somewhere serving the poor, they're always going two by two and they're never dawdling. They're always walking very quickly. And that's because of Mother Teresa's instructions to them that when they go out to serve, they go like Mary did, which was to go in haste. So that's the first lesson I think that we can take from this gospel passage is Mary's example of selflessness and a lack of self-focus and an other focus. She exemplifies that she didn't believe her life was about her, but rather about service to the other. The second thing that I think is helpful to notice here is that as Mary does this, she's pregnant with God. She's a living tabernacle. And I love to think about how, well, I mean, we have a tabernacle here in our own church. And we keep our doors unlocked during the day, not so that people can find Shirley in the office, but rather the reason we have the doors unlocked during the day is so that people can come and they can visit Jesus in the tabernacle. Because God really dwells here in this church. But before the Eucharist existed, before Jesus could institute it, Mary was a living tabernacle because Jesus himself, who is God, came to dwell in human form in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what's interesting is that to this tabernacle here, Jesus in this tabernacle waits for people to come and visit him. But Mary, as a tabernacle, seeks to go out and visit others. Mary is the first evangelist, we would say, in that she's the first one to carry the good news incarnate in her very body to another. So that's another thing that we see happening here in this gospel, that Mary, filled with Jesus now, can't help but go and bring Jesus to others. When we come to Mass and receive the Holy Eucharist, what happens to us? Well, it's really Jesus that we receive. That's the ancient Catholic faith that's been handed down to us, not a symbol of Jesus, but Jesus himself who comes to us. Jesus himself who makes a radical gift to us in that he doesn't just want to stay outside of us, but he wants to come into our very bodies so that he can inhabit our heart. And so when we go to Mass and receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we become like a tabernacle. We become like Mary. One of the early titles for Mary was Theotokos, which means in Greek, God-bearer. But this is exactly what we become when we receive the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. We ourselves bear God within us. So, in imitation of Mary, what could our response to being made a tabernacle, a Theotokos, a God-bearer, what could our response be? Well, we too could, in haste, go out to bring Jesus to others, to evangelize, to bring the good news that's now living in our hearts out to those who need him the most. So a lot to reflect on this evening, but I think especially helpful for us is to reflect on how Mary is an example for us of a proper response to God coming into her life. What does she do? She wants to go and give that same gift that she has received to another. How is God calling us in our own life in simple, small ways? How is God calling us in our own life to bring the one that we have received here at Mass to another, to be a God-bearer like Mary, an evangelist, the one who brings the good news of Jesus to someone who is in need?